Well, good evening. Hey, glad you're here. Thanks for being here. My name is Chris. I get the privilege to serve as senior pastor here at Second Baptist, and so grateful that so many of you have chosen to worship with us tonight. And thank you for all the churches that have come out and everybody represented here. And so looking forward to tonight. In just a few moments, we're going to pray together. Then we're going to sing, and then Dr. David Shepherd is going to come and preach the Word of God to us, and just looking forward to that time. And I, in just a moment, want to lead us in a word of prayer. And so before I do, Psalm 85, 4, 5, and 6 says, "Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations?" And then the psalmist asks this, says, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" And so we just want to pray tonight that God would send revival, that God would revive his people. And so one of the things we've been doing in our services is just having a moment where we have a chance to just really hit pause and ask the Lord to work, ask the Lord to speak to us, ask the Lord to do what only he can. And so let's take a moment and do just that, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask if you would bow your head and close your eyes with me just for a moment. And I'm going to invite, if there's some of you who would like to come up to the front here and spend time praying in these next few moments and pray and ask God to speak and to move, ask God to save any who may not know him. And we're just jointly asking for God to send revival. So if you just spend a moment in prayer, and would you just, man, just begin to thank God. Thank God for who he is, for what he's done. Spend a moment just thanking God for every necessity of life that you have that we just take for granted so often. Would you pray and ask God to reveal any unconfessed sin in your life? Anything you need to turn from? Anything you need to ask forgiveness for? Then would you ask God to be with our service tonight? Ask the Holy Spirit to move and to work and to bless tonight. Ask God to be with our time of singing. Ask God to be with our preaching. God in heaven, I thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Lord God in heaven, I pray tonight that everything that we sing, everything that we say, and everything that we do would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. God in heaven, I pray that God, you Holy Spirit, would fall on this place. You would have freedom to work, freedom to move. God, let us hear what the Spirit has to say tonight. God, I pray that you would invade this place. I pray that we would know without a doubt when we leave here that we've met with you. God, I pray for Brother David, God, that you'd fill him with your Spirit. Give him grace to preach the Word of God as thus saith the Lord. God, I pray for every person in this room. God, I pray that anybody here who's lost and doesn't know you, God, I pray they would repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in you. God, I pray for those that are struggling, those that are believers, but they're hurting and they're struggling, they're far from you. God, I pray you would restore them. And God, I pray for the saints of God that you would encourage and strengthen them. And oh God, we pray, will you revive your people again that we may rejoice in you. And Lord, we love you and we pray that you would do what only you can. and that God, you would be glorified. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Just stand as we sing Blessed Assurance.
To see who holds the Well, good evening. You'll find the reading today in the book of Luke at chapter number 15. The book of Luke, chapter 15. If you have a Bible, you'll turn there and read with me. We began there in Luke chapter 15 at verse number 11. Luke chapter 15, we'll read verse 11 through 32. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through verse 32. I want to answer a question from these verses. The question is, does it pay to stay home? Does it pay to stay home? Luke chapter 15, verse 11. The book of Luke, chapter 15. We'll start reading there at verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Ask God to speak to us. I'm glad, Lord, for the privilege to stand and declare the Word of God. Would you please make my mind clear, my words powerful? Would you send the Spirit of God upon the listener? Meet with us today. Join us in this room. I pray hearts would be tuned to God, that you would push back every work of darkness, every demon of hell, every spiritual force or physical thing that would hinder people from hearing God's Word. Bless us, meet with us, show your truth into our hearts. We ask for this grace and this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a most interesting story. This man had two children, two boys actually. And he had one young kid that was, I don't know, smart aleck. So the kid comes up to his daddy and says, Daddy, I want my inheritance. Well, you know, it's customary to wait until your father kicks the bucket and dies to get your inheritance. I want it now. I don't want to wait. I want you to give me everything that's coming to me now. So the father, can you imagine this? I can't. The father did something I could never do. He gave the kid the property, the money, the inheritance. It seems likely that he gave cash into his hand. I picture in my mind a young guy, maybe 20 years old, And he said to his dad, I want my part of the inheritance. I want my part of the farm, my part of the assets. I'd like my part of your money, and I would like to have it right now. I think he probably came back with a roll of $100 bills big enough to choke a pretty big horse. And he gave that roll of $100 bills to the kid. Now, what would you do if you had that much money given to you all at one time to do whatever you want? I think if he lived today, this kid would have burned a trail probably down to the Chevrolet dealer and bought a brand new Corvette for, say, $115,000 to $130,000 with a 900-plus horsepower motor. He'd have got in that red Corvette convertible and went back by the farm. And there is his poor hillbilly brother plowing. He stopped in front of the fence and said, hey, bro, I'm out of here. And I can just see blue smoke boiling everywhere. And his brother said, what in the world is wrong with little brother? Now, the kid takes off to town. The Bible tells us he wasted his substance. When he got to town, of course, he had to have his own apartment, so he got a very nice one. And he got all kind of furniture, and he went down and rented a TV as big as a wall. And he got all kind of liquor and beer, and he got all the things he wanted. And he went down to the party scene, and pretty soon people heard, there's a kid that's come to town with lots and lots of money. And he will spend it. He's happy to throw a party. He's happy to buy drugs. He's happy to have beer. Just find him, man. He will forevermore spend his money. You know what? If you got money and you'll spend it, you got friends. I can tell you a truth. It's not in the Bible, but it's true. No rich man ever had an ugly girlfriend. You can just put that down and take that to the bank. So he's got this beautiful girlfriend, and he's got this really nice, fancy apartment and sound system, and he's just living life, living large. Fine car, lots of friends, having a big time. And he is spending water like it was just flowing out of him. But you don't know who your friends are when you're on top. You find out who your friends are when you're broke. You find out who your friends are when you're sick and in the hospital. This kid ran out of money. He went to pay his bar tab one day and they said, your card's been declined. Oh, well, we'll try this one. That one's declined too. And the word spread, the kid is out of cash. Everybody abandoned him. When you can't do anything, when you can't provide money, when you can't feed other people and help them, when you're not a sucker for their desires and their wants, you'll soon find out who really cares anything about you. Nobody cared for the kid. The Bible says there was a famine, which means there was no food to be bought or sold. There was nobody in town that had extra groceries. And so he goes door to door. Hey, could you feed me? I'm hungry. Could you please give me something to eat? I'm starving. I hadn't eaten in days. Could you please help me? Go away. We're not helping you. This is a Jewish story. So the boy probably is a Jewish character. The Jews had strict religious rules against any kind of hogs or pigs. You didn't eat pig meat. You didn't have bacon. You didn't have a ham sandwich. They had very strict rules. It was the most morally and religiously unclean of all animals was the pig. So he's going down the road. He's broke. He's hungry. He knocks on the door, and this guy comes to the door, and he said, could you please give me something to eat? No! Please, I'm starving. I tell you what, kid. You see that hog pen? You see all my pigs over there? I tell you what. If you will feed them and make sure my pigs eat, you can eat what they eat. If you'll take care of them, you can sleep where they sleep. I'll treat you as good as my hogs. Golly. Do any of you know anything about hogs? Anybody here been up close and personal with a real pig? Okay. For those of you who are uninitiated, let me just tell you, there is an ammonia content to hog manure that will knock your head off. Can I get a witness right there? This kid goes down there, and he hadn't eaten. I don't know how long he'd ate. But don't you know the first bite of hog slop was tough? The first time to put your head in the trough and knock them out of the way and gobble down what the pig, the first time had to be hard, but it wasn't long until he was eating what they eat, and then it came time to take a sleep. Well, move over, old girl. He's eating with the hogs and living with the hogs and sleeping with the hogs, and he know better than the hogs. And there's an interesting phrase. Did you catch it in the text? It says, he came to himself. What does that mean? That means that one day he said, my cat, look at me. Whew. Smell me. And look at my clothes. Look at my face. Look at my hands. Man, what has happened to me? Back at my daddy's house, he's got people that he's hired, and they eat better than I do. I'm going to get up out of here, and I'm going back home to my father, and I'm going to tell him, I've sinned, I'm wrong, I'm dirty. Please take me back and let me be a hired servant. I'm not worthy to be a son in your house. I don't deserve your love. But if you could just give me a little job so I could eat, I'd be so thankful, Daddy. He starts back home. Now, what do you think this kid looked like after weeks of sleeping in hog mud? What did he smell like? Whew. What about his fingernails and his ears and his face? All his clothing. He was a terrible looking piece of machinery. I mean, he was awful. He's coming down the road and his father sees him and runs out, runs down the road and grabs the boy and hugs him and kisses him and says, I am so glad you are coming home. He said, wait, Daddy, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm wrong. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as a hired servant. He said, son, you're not a hired servant. I'm taking you back as a son. Somebody will get him a nice suit of clothes. Put a ring on his hand. Put some shoes on his bare, nasty feet. He's my son. He's come home, and I'm so happy. How could that father do that? How could he forgive and receive back this kid, nasty and dirty and stinky? He had four values. First of all, this father looked at that son not as some outcast. He looked at him, and when he saw that boy coming back home that day, he was very sure he cared for him, because to this father, people were more important than possessions. To this father, the main thing was not things. He didn't care about the money wasted. He was glad he got the son back. The second value this father had was that a second chance was a whole lot more valuable than revenge or punishment. Does anybody ever say, I knew you'd turn out that way? I knew you'd fail that test. I knew you'd lose that job. I knew you couldn't do that. I told you so. I knew you were a loser. Don't you just hate it, like just grind your face in it? Not this dad. He said, man, I'm glad to have you back. You got another chance at life. The third value this father had was that what is found is a lot more valuable than whatever was lost. Oh, he was much happier to get the kid back. A fourth value he had was that this boy's future was more important than his past. What he could be was a whole lot more important than what he had been. He looked at his son and he saw potential. He saw someone he loved. He cared about him. Now, this man had two sons. Did you pick that up in the story? Now, the younger son had that kind of outside, obvious sin. You could look at him and say, boy, that's one messed up kid. You could smell him and say, ooh, that kid been far, far away. You could listen to him and say, this young man has wasted a lot of his life and his mind, his health. I mean, it was obvious. It was written large on the outside of him. I've screwed up. I messed up. He had that kind of outside sin. But he had another son. In fact, he was the older one. And this older son had inside sin. This older brother was a hard worker. This older brother had stayed home. This older brother didn't cause any trouble. He obeyed the rules. Probably said, yes, sir, no, sir. Maybe washed the dishes for his mother. I don't know what he did. But you know, he was the kind of kid that everybody wants to have. Doesn't cause you any trouble. Doesn't cost you any money. Works hard. Plays by the rules. Does what's right. And this older brother had stayed home and done all that he should have done. But he had sin too. He had sin you could not see. He had sins of attitude, sins of the mind. He had sins of looking down on the younger brother. The Bible says this older brother was out in the field working, and he comes home that evening, and he sees smoke coming off the barbecue grill, and he hears music playing. And he sees people dancing. He said, what in the world is going on? I smell the barbecue and I see the smoke and I hear the music. What has happened? And the servant said, woo, your brother has come home. And your father received him back. And we have killed a fatted calf. And we are so delighted to have him come back home. Now I want to ask you a question. How do you get a fatted calf? You put them in a stall and you feed them on the mouth front. You feed them on the front end, and you take your shovel and scoop up the manure off the back end, and you just do that over and over and over and over, and the thing gets bigger and bigger. Who had fed and cleaned the stall of the calf? Possibly the older brother. He was in the field plowing. I got tickled one time. An old man that used to plow with mules told me, when you plow with a mule, the view never changes. He was the kind of kid that didn't mind doing dirty work, hard work. He had grit and dirt on him from being out in the field all day. He was hard working and he stayed home and he did what everybody thought was right. But if you look in verse 26 and following, oh, he was resentful. Verse 26, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, thy brother's come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. What's he mad about? He tells his father what it is that bothers him so very, very badly. This thy son, he said. He wouldn't go in. These many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. This brother had some beliefs. He believed that the most important thing was things. He was upset about the calf. This brother had some beliefs that told him that a second chance was not near as important as punishment. And revenge. He wanted his little brother to suffer. This older brother had the belief that what was lost was valuable. And it wasn't much value in getting the brother back home. This older brother said the future of this man is not near as important as the past. He's done so many dirty things, we'll never take him back. Well, that's a lot different from the father, isn't it? If you live long enough, you'll do some shameful stuff that you hope to God some people never find out about. You will commit sins that you pray to God are never broadcast. You will commit sins that if you get married, you hope to God your husband or wife never knows. You'll commit sin that you hope to God your parents never find out. You will do things that are shameful and disgraceful. And you may not go live with hogs and have hog manure all over you and slop all over you. You may not do that, but you will have some dirt on your soul. And you'll say, man, whatever led me to do that, I don't know. This older brother, I put it this way, he got wrong without doing wrong. He was much more concerned with the possessions than he was with his brother. He was much more concerned with revenge. He was much more concerned over what was lost. He would tell you what you were in the past defines what you will be in the future. So I'd like to ask you a question. Is there something in your past that you're, God, you're ashamed of it? Have you done something that's dirty, immoral, unholy, wicked? Suppose tonight when you got here we said, oh, by the way, up on the screen, we're going to display the sins of 10 people. Whoo, I tell you what, I'd be out of here. I wouldn't want you displaying my sins on the screen. And if you have things that you are really ashamed of, you'll be just like this young son who has come home. I hope you understand what I'm about to say. I understand why the older brother was so upset. It looked like it did not pay him to stay home. From what he could see, the little brother had blown all the money, lived a wicked, sinful life, come back home, it was all forgiven, and now he's got a ring and shoes and a robe, and he's got a place in the home, and dad's forgiven him, everything is okay. Unstated in this story is a question. Does it pay to stay home? Did the man who was the older brother and gave the father his labor and gave his love and gave him his help, did that guy really come out on top? Did it pay him to stay home? Verse 31 answers that question. The father is talking to the boy, and he tells him three things that he needs to know about staying home. Number one, verse 31, son, thou art ever with me. You didn't go to the bars. You weren't off with honky-tonks. You stayed home. You didn't have a wicked prostitute for a girlfriend. You didn't live in sexual sin. You weren't out going to strip clubs. You weren't out there, you know, living a life of parties and drinking. You were with me. This means you don't have memories of sin you committed. This means you don't have the dirt on your conscience of those activities that were so wrong and so evil. You've been here to learn my character. You've been beside me as your father. You've heard from me, learned from me, saw how I lived and act. You have been with me. You have come out ahead because you stayed home. You don't have harlots and hogs and honky-tonks on your conscience. You don't have an ugly, shameful past. If you avoid certain sins, you will avoid the memory of the stain and dirt and filth of that sin. If you remain sexually pure until you are married, you will come out ahead. If you avoid alcohol, drinking, if you avoid wild parties and raves, if you avoid all of those things that attract you, I promise you one day you'll say, man, I'm glad I don't have that on my mind. I'm glad I don't have that in my past. I don't have that in my future. I don't have those memories to haunt me. In counseling, as a pastor and Christian worker, I've had people say to me, you know, I did this and this 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and I can still remember it. It still haunts me. It bothers me. I go to bed at night, and I feel guilty. I feel dirty. My soul is agonized over what I did. He said, son, you stayed home. You avoided a lot of that stuff. My father was a pastor. And dude, I'm going to tell you, we had some strict, we had some strict rules in my house. When I was a grown man with hair on my feet and had my own car, I had to be home at 9 o'clock. You ever tell your girlfriend, baby, I got to run, I got to be home by 9 o'clock? My mother would always call me and say, day before you go, I got to talk to you. And I was going to get the same lecture every time. Don't drive fast. And I learned to say, yes, ma'am. Watch for other cars. Yes, ma'am. And I thought to myself, the longer you talk, the faster I'm going to have to drive to get where I'm going. And I had a whole list of things that I was not permitted to do. I wasn't permitted to go to dirty movies. Wasn't permitted to dance and drinking. Man, I never got to drink. In fact, to tell you the God's truth, I've never had a drink in my whole life. And I managed to make it. Wasn't permitted to smoke. Drugs out of the question. I'm telling you, man, I was raised in a strict, strict, strict home. Had to cut my hair. Had to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I mean, buddy, when you lived in my house, you followed the rules. But then I had a friend at church. I don't think this boy had ever heard the word no in his whole life. He could do anything he wanted. His parents didn't really mean or hold him back. He could play any kind of music he wanted, go any kind of parties he wanted to go. He just completely was free to do what he wanted to do. I remember thinking, boy, I'm jealous of him. I thought about praying to God, saying, God, my friend over there needs some rules and some constraints and guidance, and I need some freedom. Would you please swap us for a little while so he could get under control and I could have some freedom? I didn't pray that, but I thought about how that might be an appropriate prayer. I was jealous. I felt cheated. I felt bound and constrained and held back. Time rocks on. I get out of college. I'm pastoring a church. I got a phone call. My friend has died. He's the same age as I am. I was 23. Would you come preach his funeral? He left, went to California, lived with hippies, took drugs, screwed up every kind of way you can do it. And now his mom and daddy want me to come preach his funeral. I went back and I looked in that steel gray box at his cold, clammy face. I touched his hands. They were so cold. I looked at him and I thought, you know what? I'm glad I stayed home. I'm glad I didn't get into what you got into. I'm glad I had parents who restrained me and kept me back from some of the things. Listen. I wanted to do all that stuff. I had a sincere wish for it, but I was scared of my parents, more particularly my father. This older brother, his dad said to him, you know what? You are ever with me. Unbroken fellowship. Then he tells him another thing in verse 31. All that I have, verse 31b, is thine. Everything here belongs to you. The farm, the house, the animals, the properties, the equipment, the money, furniture, the servants. It's all yours. Why is that? Well, if you look back in this text to verse 12, in verse 12, when the father divides up everything, verse 12 says, at the end, and he divided unto them his living. The younger brother got forgiveness. The younger brother got back home, but he never got another inheritance. He would always be living in his older brother's house. He'd always be sleeping in his older brother's bed. He'd always be subservient to his older brother. Yes, he could get back and he could get forgiven, but he had an undivided inheritance. Let me assure you, you can get forgiveness for anything. No matter what you do, God will forgive you. But there are consequences for life decisions that you make. You can lose some things in sin that you will not regain in salvation and forgiveness. Your past can be washed away as far as the judging hand of God, but some of those things that you wasted will never come back to you. I want to promise you, you never lose by serving God. If you've looked at your friends and said, man, my friends can do anything they want to. Why do I have to obey all these stupid rules? Just keep on living. Just don't die. And after a while, you'll say, you know what? I have an undivided inheritance. When the Father said to the Son, all that I have is thine, the expectation is you're going to have to take care of your younger brother. You're going to have to feed him and clothe him and house him. You're going to have to give him jobs and work. He is your responsibility, which brings us to the third thing. Son, you have unbroken fellowship. You have an undivided inheritance. Verse 32, the third thing. It was meet, note the pronouns, that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. He said, son, I want you to act in my stead. You have a greater responsibility. The word meet there means it was necessary, it was appropriate, it was right, it was fitting. I hadn't done anything wrong to you, older brother. You got everything around here. Now I expect you to be a steward of all of my things and to act in my place. If you serve the Lord and you go up in ministry, you go up in Christian life, you rise to leadership and you rise to a higher place in the kingdom of God, as you go up in ministry, you go down in privilege. You go down in what you can do without hurting someone else. Now, the older brother was nice when he was by himself. When there was no younger brother, he could be sweet. When there was nobody there, he was fine. But when that younger brother came home, my mother puts it this way, you can get wrong without doing wrong. But now God expects the older brother to represent him. What did the father want? I've summarized it in three words. The father wanted, number one, he wanted this older brother to forgive. Forgive. The older brother knew how to be a rule keeper, but he had to learn how to be a sinner lover. And now instead of just keeping rules yourself, his father wants him to forgive the error of his brother. It's easy to love rules and not love people. Second thing that the father wanted from this older brother, one was to forgive and the other was to give. Give a share of the money, the house, the property, flocks, the clothing. Share your wealth with this impoverished brother. And thirdly, he wanted this older brother to live and be faithful and do what the father would do. Verse 32, he's telling the older brother, you're going to have to take care. You're going to have to do what I would do. You're going to have to act in my stead. You're going to have to act in my place and take care of your younger brother. If you're here tonight and you're like the younger kid, you went off and did some really stupid, sinful things, the good word for you is you can come back to God. I don't care what you did. I don't care who you hurt, how you sinned, how bad, how gross, how ugly, how immoral, unholy, wicked you were, you can get forgiveness. That's the word of God for those of you who have sinned like the younger brother. If you're here like the older brother and you hadn't done any of that stuff, the warning to you is don't be a self-righteous jerk. Don't be a snob. Don't be a high-hatted hypocrite. Don't be the kind of person that looks down your nose at everybody else. Forgive them, give to them, live for God with them. Would you pray with me? Our pastor will be here at the front. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Some of you are like the younger brother. You got off and did some dirty, wicked, sinful things, and you need to be forgiven. When we sing, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, walk down the front, and say to the pastor, I need to get right with God. I need to be saved. I need to get forgiveness. I don't know what it is, but God will forgive you. But He's not going to force it down your throat. He's not going to cram it on you. That younger boy came to himself and said, I'll arise and go to my father. I'm getting out of here. I'm not living like this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. If that's the feeling you have in your heart, that you want to get away from what's wrong, I would just tell you, get up, come forward. Pastor will be here. He'll help you. There are counselors here who will take the Bible and pray with you and talk to you. I'm available if you want to talk to me. If you are saved, if you are a born-again believer, but you've been a difficult, self-righteous, pious, hard-hearted older brother looking down on people, you need to get right with God too. The Father wants you to change just like He wanted that younger son to change. So here's the question. If you would, just nobody looking for a minute, out of respect, out of courtesy to your neighbor, nobody's looking, but would you lift your hand and say, I need to change. I've got a spiritual decision I need to make. There's something going on in my soul I need to get settled. Nobody's looking, please. Would you just slip your hand up and put it down? I will pray for you. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? And you? Yes. Anybody else? Yes, I see that. Thank you. Thank you. There's something going on. I need to change. I've got some stuff I need to get right with God. Pray for me. Anybody else? Now, Father, You've touched hearts. You've taken Your word and spoken to us. Bless those who might be like the younger brother, dirty and far off. Help them to have the courage to come. Bless those who might be like the older brother, self-righteous jerks and difficult people. Help them, Lord. Convict them. Do a spiritual work in the hearts of people while we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.
In just a moment, we're going to dismiss, but man, just felt really compelled to the Lord. I want to share with you just quickly, obviously a really powerful story of Scripture of and this parable of the lost son and this wayward son that returns home. And obviously did a lot of things as a pastor, man. He shared well with us. But let me remind you of this verse. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me wrap it this way for you, or share it with you this way, is that you think for a moment your absolute worst day and worst moment, worst thing you've ever done, the thing that you would be most ashamed of if anybody in this room ever knew, and unfortunately there's plenty of moments for me to think about in my life. But what Romans 5:8 says, that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means when Jesus is hanging on the cross, right, where this week is what we call the Holy Week, that here we are 2 days away from approaching what we call Good Friday, the day in which Jesus, I read this morning in Luke, that it says that he set his face toward Jerusalem. He set his face toward coming to this very moment, approaching Friday, where he would be crucified as an innocent man, as the begotten Son of God, fully God yet fully man. And you think for a moment, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus, sinless, perfect man, the matchless Son of God, hanging upon the cross on the place of Golgotha, and there he is as he's hanging on the cross. Just for a moment, as you're thinking back to that worst moment in your life, this Bible says God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The very most worst moment of your day, of your life, he's on the cross with you on his mind going, I died for you. And I am demonstrating my love for you in the darkest, what we see, man, the darkest day of human history in which the Son of God dies. But we're getting ready to celebrate Easter because that wasn't the end of the story, right? But God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin, the Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So the penalty and punishment, what I've earned because of my sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus pays the penalty on the cross. He's buried, and on the third day is risen from the dead, and he's done it to offer the free gift of salvation for all who will believe. And man, I just feel extremely compelled tonight to remind you of the good news, the hope of the gospel, the hope that we have in Jesus. And then on your worst day, God loved you and God loved me, and he loves you right now. And his heart and his desire is that you would repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in him if you never have. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The single greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is the day in which you repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in him. And dear friend, I want to encourage you. Man, if you've not yet made that decision, young or old, don't gamble with eternity. Don't risk continuing to live a life separated from the Lord. But today, repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in him. Today, decide, man, I want all of Jesus. Man, listen, I wish, brother, I had the same testimony. I wish I had the testimony that I hadn't tasted the things I've done, that I haven't done the things that I have. But man, unfortunately, I did. But I'm here to tell you that the day, October 10th, 2004, I bent my knee and repented and placed my faith and trust in Jesus. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The day I stood up was the day I was a new man. I wasn't the same person anymore. And dear friend, he can set you free today. He can save you today. But the Bible says this, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, if you'll call out on Jesus, the Bible says he'll save you. And so I know most of it, man, we're ready to go. But, man, I'm convinced, man, the Lord wants us to hear this tonight. And so we're going to have just a moment. If you would, just out of respect, if you would bow your head and close your eyes, and if you would say, Pastor, man, I need to be saved. I've been holding on. I've been hearing this. I've been pushing back. I've been resistant toward it. But tonight, I know I need to be saved. I need to give my heart to Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. God will save you. If you'll pray right where you're at and ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins and be the boss of your life, the Word of God says He will. Man, here in just a moment, I'll lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer, but please understand this. Words of a prayer have never saved anybody. It's attitude of your heart. The Bible says, man look upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. If you'll pray and ask God to save you and forgive you of your sin, you'll meet it with all your heart. The Bible says He'll save you. And so if you would, just for a moment, right where you're at, if you'd say, Pastor, man, I need to be saved tonight, then you pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be. Help me to live for you. I pray in Jesus' name, with head bowed and eyes closed, please, just out of respect, if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that just a moment ago, and I meant it with all my heart, would you just look right up here at me and make eye contact with me? Did you pray that? Amen. Anybody else? Did you pray that? Amen. Keep looking at me. Anybody else pray it? Look right up here. Did y'all pray that? Amen. Amen. If you prayed it and you're looking up at me, man, stand up right where you're at. If you prayed and say, man, amen. If you prayed it, amen. Amen. Who else? Amen. Stand up right where you're at. If you prayed it and meant it with all your heart and you're standing up, maybe you hadn't stood up yet, I want you to come up here right where I'm at. Just come stand right here. Come on. I'm going to ask some of our counselors, Brother Lance, some of your folks, if you would come. Amen. Hey, listen, here's the deal. We're going to let some of our folks just visit with you. Man, I believe this is the most important decision you'll ever make. And this is vital. This is important. And what we want to do is we want to come alongside you and be an encouragement to you. Okay? And so we're just going to let you slide out. There's a room right in the back that some of our adults are going to go with you. And so y'all can go right on that way. Follow Pastor Jonathan right there. Amen. There's a room right around back that there's a place set up to visit. Amen. And here's what I want to do. I want to just give us another moment. If you, man, we've got a lot of friends, a lot of family, a lot of kids, grandkids, that if they don't hear this message and they don't repent, they're going to spend all eternity separated from the one who died for them. And so here's what I want to do. I want to give us a moment that there may be some of you, man, we just want to come get on this altar and ask God to save our friends, to save our family, to save those in our community. And so if that's you, if you want to come, your main attitude of prayer, if you want to come and pray for kids or grandkids or neighbors or coworkers or, man, people in your life that you know need to be saved, then, man, come on, let's get on this altar and ask God to do what only He can do. And it may be the night that you go, man, I'm really not that broken over my friends and family, but I know I need to be and I know I want to be. Man, come go on this altar and ask God to break your heart over lost people. Burden your heart over people and where they're going to spend eternity. You just pray right where you're at. Where you're at. God in heaven, man, first of all, thank you. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you, O God, for going to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for so great a salvation. God in heaven, I pray and thank you for the work you've done here tonight. And God, you may be glorified in that. And God, I pray you would break us over the lostness around us. Break us over the men, women, boys, and girls that we pass by every day that are dying and going to hell. God, I pray you'd forgive us for having a callousness over our heart where we're not even that concerned about it. God in heaven, I pray that you'd do abundantly above all that we could ever ask, imagine, or hope for. God, set a burden of fire down in our soul. And God, we'd be burdened over friends and neighbors and co-workers. God, we'd be burdened over kids and grandkids and mamas and daddies and aunts and uncles. And God, I pray that you would give us a boldness to share the gospel, that we would be the Romans 1:16. We're not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. God, help us to live in a way that pleases and honors you, but help us to be bold with our mouth and proclaim the good news. Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Help us to be a witness for you. And we pray and ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, amen. Well, thank God for the work of His Spirit. Thank God for who He is and what He's done. And we want to get ready in just a moment. And certainly in a moment we're going to have an opportunity to receive an offering as we leave. Let me just say this. If you're a guest, we don't expect you to give. We don't want you to feel obligated or pressured by any means. I'm going to ask some of our men if they would get ready to help receive the offering as we leave today. Here's what I want you to know is that as we give tonight, this 100% of what is taken up is goes toward Dr. David Shepherd and our extension of appreciation for him coming and serving us this week. Brother, thank you so much for coming and serving, being faithful to preach the word. And so we're grateful for that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for several churches and others who came and worshiped with us tonight. I'm so grateful and thankful for you. Let me encourage you this. Obviously, it goes to our second family, but all those churches. Obviously, Easter is Sunday. People are open to being invited to church on Easter. So wherever it is you worship, you invite people to come and be at church with you on Easter. And trust the Lord, the gospel will be preached, and you never know what God may do in their lives. And so I want to encourage you to invite folks to church wherever it is you attend. If there's by chance, I don't know of anybody, but by chance we have any visitors here tonight that aren't connected to another church, we're not interested in stealing sheep from other church. I want you to go be faithful where you're at. But if you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you. I'd love to visit with you and get a chance to meet you. But thank you so much for being here tonight. Let's stand together. We're going to dismiss in a word of prayer. Just a reminder for our folks, we have a normal Sunday morning Bible study. Sunday school's at 9:30, and then our worship at 10:45. And just thank God for you, and let me pray for us, and then we will be dismissed, all right? Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. I pray that you would bless as we give tonight. I pray you would take it, multiply it, and use it to be a blessing to Brother David and protect him as he travels home tonight. And God, just be with him and guide him. Lord, I just pray that you continue to produce fruit that you begun here this week. Lord, I pray for all the churches represented here and across our River Valley that churches would be full Sunday morning and there would be many sinners that go from death to life. And that, God, you would use it for your kingdom and glory. Help us to be a witness for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Have a great week.